Jesus said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And we preached on faith forsaken and forgotten. And we looked at several, we asked several questions about this faith and the situation that the world is in. We said what, where, who, basically is kind of the direction that we went with on the subject of faith. I want to ask you this morning, where is your faith? And understand when I ask that question that where you put your faith is going to determine different effects that you have to deal with in life. Where is your faith this morning, your biblical faith? What does it mean to have a faith that is based on the Word of God? We read in Romans chapter number 10, verses 8 through 15, and in our reading of that text, that is a key passage of Scripture if we are looking to the Lord for salvation or if we are leading someone to the Lord in the realm of salvation, where the Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then he goes on to say, you know, how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And as he begins to talk about sending the man of God to preach the gospel, he uses the phrase, the word of faith. We talked about faith and the word of faith and how it revolves around the condition of your heart, how it can bring about the reality of the contents that's in your heart, how it involves a confession of your heart. Amen. If you will confess, amen, in your heart and in your life that Jesus has rose from the grave. We talked about the confidence of the heart and the conversation of the heart. We preached about that, I think, maybe last Sunday morning. I don't know exactly when it was. But I want to focus today, if I can, on the subject, where is your faith? Where do you have it this morning? The Bible says much about faith. It talks about the measure of faith. Each one of us have a measure of faith. And we know as we serve the Lord that as we grow in the grace of God, there's days when our faith gets weak, our faith gets tired, our faith can get weary. But I'm glad, amen, that there is a place of strength, there's a place of growth, and God can work in your heart and help you in your faith as you walk with the Lord in this life. Jesus said, when I come to the earth, shall I find faith? We talked about the condition this world is going to be in when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and will there be faith on the earth when he comes? Where's your faith this morning? Where this morning do you have confidence? Where is your trust? It's so easy to get caught up in a religious form. It's so easy to respond to life through, through a stable mindset where you are trying to accomplish things and do things and fulfill things because of obligation or duty or because the expectations of others seem to weigh heavy on your mind, what others expect you to accomplish and do and what others are looking for you to fulfill. And some of that's fine, some of that's good in its place, but the just shall live by his faith. Do you have faith this morning? Understanding that faith, are you listening to me now? Understanding that faith is not going to undo the reality and the facts of the curse that humanity has on it. You can believe God with more faith than anybody that's ever breathed there, but you're going to die. Faith is not going to stop you from physically passing off the scene. Because this world is cursed with a collective curse because of man's fall in the garden. And you need to understand that this morning. You need to get a handle on that, or you will not, are you listening to me? You will not be able to believe God when trouble comes and when storms arise like they arose here. Listen to me. Jesus was on the boat and a storm came about. Are you listening to me? Jesus was praying for his disciples and they faced a storm. There's people dying all around the Lord. There's lepers. There's people that's sick. There's blind people. There's lame people. When the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, is physically walking on this earth, did not lift the curse. Did not undo the condition of man in this world. And so I want you to understand that when you embrace biblical faith, it is not going to undo the curse that is on this earth. It's not going to eliminate suffering. Now, the charismatic world would try to get you to believe that if you have enough faith, that you won't ever get sick. Now, that's stupid. That's senseless. That's not Bible. If that's the case, then you could have enough faith to never die. Is that not right? Because you're going to get sick one of these days and die. If you have enough faith, nothing bad will ever happen to you. You don't have any trouble. That's what one of them said as they closed their radio broadcast out. Brother Gilbert, they'd say, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. Well, you can have all kind of faith in God and have more trouble than you can shake a stick at. Because, and I'm trying to embed that in your mind that you will have a distorted mindset of God and the Bible and the things of God if you do not understand that faith is not going to undo the curse that this world is under. But I'm going to tell you what faith will affect. Amen. Where is your faith? Is your faith in a person? And when I speak of that person, I'm talking about the Son of God, the Savior of the world. You see, if you've got faith in the Son of God, it's going to affect your heart. Now, I preached about that last week, but I want to, amen, reiterate this thought this morning in your mind. And that is that if a man believes in his heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so this morning, if you're not saved by the grace of God, you put your faith in religion, you put your faith in a ritual, you put your faith in some work that you can accomplish, you put your faith in some man or some organization, you put your faith, amen, in a political party, you put your faith in some religious set of rules and rights, you're going to be lost without God come eternity. But you can put your faith in the Son of God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can know the grace of God, and your heart can be changed. Amen. Have you ever really put your faith in Him? Well, preacher, I've been baptized. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm asking you if you put your faith in Jesus. I'm going to tell you 2,000 years ago, and you've heard the story, and I'll tell it again this morning. 2,000 years ago, the darling Son of God walked up Golgotha's hill and laid his life down there for the sins of the world. He was born in Bethlehem's manger, the pure, holy Son of God. It's a mystery, but God was manifest in the flesh that day with a purpose, with a design plan to fulfill in his life, and that was, amen, to live a perfect life. For the goal and purpose to fulfill the law that man had broken. Man had broken the law. You understand that? And man is lost and undone and depraved and in sin. And Jesus was born that day for the purpose to fulfill the law. Every jot, every tittle of the Word of God would be fulfilled by the Son of God that day. And he lived his life, they tell us, some 33 and a half years. And then he walked up Golgotha's hill and he's laid his life down for the sins of the world for the purpose to provide redemption for you and I, to offer the gift of grace to the world, to be able to change the heart of man that is depraved, that is bound in sin, that is ungodly, that is unholy, that heart can be changed. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And salvation deals with sin. Amen. Salvation deals with sin. And when a man's heart is changed and faith, amen, embraces the Son of God and the reality of the work of Calvary and the Lordship of Christ, amen, enters into his world, his heart desires, his heart thirsts, his heart hungers for godliness, holy things. Some of you in trouble right there. You have no desire for holy things. You're not interested at all in living godly. Your conversation is ungodly, is it not? Your conversation is ungodly. You have an ungodly character. You wear ungodly clothing. Are you listening? Your communication is ungodly. Those you fellowship with, you have more in common with the wicked than you do with the righteous. You find more common ground with a world that's lost than you do with a godly church. And the reason being is because your faith is in a religion. Your faith is in a religion at Pleasant View Baptist Church, and you've never put your faith in the Savior of the world, the person of the Lord Jesus, amen, that changes the life of ungodly people. I'm telling you, I was an independent Baptist ever since I was 18 months old. I'd heard the King James Bible preach from one end to the other all of my life. I'd heard them preach on everything that you can imagine. I'm talking about a church that was straight, amen, and clean and pure, and they wouldn't let anything go on. You couldn't even be a member of the church that I went to when I was a boy if you'd been divorced and remarried. Now, I don't agree with that. But I'm telling you what, they wanted to honor God to the degree, Brother Curtis, that they would not allow somebody, they'd let them come, but you couldn't be a member of the church if you had been divorced and remarried. Now they did that in ignorance and everything else, but they did it, amen, because they didn't want to offend God. That's how straight it was. Amen. They preached against everything. Amen. I'm talking about preached all day long against everything. I mean, you went to church on Sunday morning, and Odell Good, he'd start preaching. He'd cut loose the singing about dinner time. Amen. And then he'd preach a little while longer, and then he'd cut loose the singing again about 12:30 or 12:45. And then he'd cut loose to preaching again. And if you got out at 1:30 or 2 o'clock, you was doing good. They preached against everything. And I was sitting on one of those pews, going to hell without God. And I'd have fought you over the Bible that I didn't read, the Bible that I didn't live by. I'd have fought you over it. You wasn't going to come up to me and argue with me about the Bible. Amen. As far as it being the Word of God, I'm speaking of. I didn't live by it. I didn't read it just like you. You don't live by it, you don't read it. And I didn't either. You know why? Because I was lost. I was ungodly. I lived my own life, did my own thing, run around with my own people. But I was at church every Sunday. I had no choice to be at church every Sunday, amen, because my daddy made me go. And I'm glad that he did. And I thank God for it, amen. But I was lost. But it was a sure enough happy day in my life when the Spirit of God came by and I realized that the life I was living was not the life of a child of God. And I realized that my heart had never been changed. I realized that I had tried to change my human makeup, and I tried to turn over new leaves, and I tried to say I'll never do this again. I tried to go home, but I said I'm going to read the Bible more. I'm going to try to read the Bible. I'd read it. Didn't make a lick of sense to me because it's spiritually discerned, and I was reading it with a carnal mind, but it was a glad and a happy day when Jesus saved my soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. Prior to getting saved, I'd go to work. Are you listening to me? I'd go to work and had a television there in the office. I'd watch soap operas all day long. I'd watch cartoons, try to kill the time. But after I got saved, I'd turn the radio on every morning when I got to work, and I'd listen to J. Vernon McGee. I'd listen to Dr. Oliver B. Green start preaching the gospel. Brother Lester Roloff preach the word of God. Are you listening to me? That was back in the day when Jerry Falwell stood for something and preached the word of God, and I listened to them men, and I'm telling you what, I was just hungry and thirsty. I'd sit down and read the word of God. I feasted on the Bible because God had changed my heart. Because my faith was in a person. The person of Christ. The person of the Lord Jesus. And my heart was changed. Now I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that I've always did what I ought to do, and I've always been faithful, and I've always been filled with the Spirit, because I'm not. But I'm going to tell you what, I've always had in the deep of my heart, amen, God done a work in my heart, and there's always been a thirst, there's always been a hunger, there's always been a desire for spiritual things since the day that I believed Christ and the Spirit of God dealt with my heart. Where is your faith? Your faith in a Christian mom and dad. Your faith in a Christian school. Your faith in a church. Your faith in a Bible that you believe. Your faith in a lifestyle that you've been raised in. Or is your faith in Christ? Faith in a person will affect your heart. Some of you need your heart affected this morning. Some of you need your heart changed. Some of you need your heart dealt with. Amen. Some of you need your heart dealt with. Had a young man come to my office the other day and said, I need you to pray for me. I need some help. I didn't know what was wrong. He said, I just called on God. I don't know what all he said. But he was weeping. He was crying. And he wanted God to do something. He just let things slip in his life here or there. But he was concerned about his spiritual walk with God. There's not a person in this building that could have put a finger on his life. Faithful, active, a part of everything going on. But he was weeping in my office about his heart getting cold, and he wanted his pastor to pray for him because he didn't want his heart cold on God. And some of you live in sin. Your character is trash. Your conversation is wicked. And the communication you have among men is ungodly. But you don't have a clue. It doesn't bother you a bit. All you want is out of trouble. All you want is to live at peace in this world and be wicked. You think about the kind of language you've used this week. And then tell me what kind of shape your heart is in.
Yes, sir.
Tell me something about the music you listened to yesterday. What did you listen to on that iPod, iPad, or whatever it is? iPhone. What did you listen to this week, girls? What you feasted your mind on? What's entered into your ears? What's your eyes been looking at? Huh? What's it been looking at, Bradley? What's been going on in your mind? And then tell me, amen, where your heart is. Where's your faith at? If faith in Christ believes unto righteousness, then where's your faith? If faith in Jesus affects your heart to be driven toward godliness, driven toward holiness, driven toward a life of purity, then where is your faith? I'm going to tell you what, I had all the world I wanted. I just didn't listen to their music. I played and sang it. But I had all the world I wanted that night. When Jesus moved in my heart, I had all the world I could stomach. I was tired of being empty. I was tired of being unsatisfied. I was tired of living a life of inconsistency. I was tired of having dreams and never seeing them fulfilled. I was tired. I was worn out with the world. Jesus changed my heart. Where is your faith? Faith in a Savior will change your heart. It'll affect your heart. Then I thought about faith in promises. Faith in a person, the Savior. Faith in promises, the Scripture. Faith in the Savior will affect your heart. Faith in the Scripture and the promises of the Scripture will affect your hope. Do you have any hope? Or are you hopeless this morning? Do you have any hope today? I'm not going to stop preaching on that saved people live godly. By the way, if you're waiting for a break, there's not going to be one. If you're waiting for a window to jump out so you can live in sin and still sleep at night and think you're going to heaven, you're looking at the wrong man. I believe in the eternal security of the believer. I believe once a man is saved by the grace of God, he's not just immediately changed, he's forever changed. And I believe I can prove that in the Word of God. God does things in an eternal way. Amen. We have eternal life. There's an eternal heaven just like there's an eternal hell. And I believe that, I preach that because it's biblical and it's right. But if you think for a minute that I'm going to put you in heaven when your life is wicked and your mind is corrupt and everything you do is contrary to God and the Bible, you're a fool and we're all fools if we think we're going to heaven when our desire's not toward God. It's not going to happen, friend. But I want you to understand that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, laid His life down on Calvary. He poured His blood out as a sacrifice and a means of salvation for all mankind. And there that day, He died for your sin and He died for mine. And He delivered us from the penalty of sin. He delivered us from the presence of sin that day. He delivered us from the power of sin that day. And the greatest thing that can happen to you is to put your faith in Him and experience a changed heart that is created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. That, do you hear what I just said? I said the greatest thing that could happen to you is to understand by faith that when a man is saved, God delivers him through Calvary's flow from past sins, the presence of sin, the power of sin. And God has created that man in Christ Jesus unto good works. He foreordained salvation to accomplish that task. And I'm not a Calvinist, but I do believe that God is sovereign. And I believe that in the beginning, God predetermined that salvation, Brother Grubbs, would deliver men from sin. And it would create a work unto good works in the man's life, Nathan, that say God changes people. Now, I'm not trying to promote. I got saved when I was 7. I got saved. We had a lot of kids get saved. But they need to understand that if they get 12 and all they are is wicked, they're lost.
Yes, sir. You're right.
When they get 13 and 14 and all they want to do is rebel against their mom and dad and live ungodly and live in sin, steal cookies out of the cookie jar, slap the other kids around, and they're wicked and ungodly and their heart's not toward God. They never pray. They never have a desire for the things of God. They have no appetite for spiritual things. They're lost. They're lost. They're lost. And they can hang on Brother Massengale baptizing them when they're 7 years old all their life and die and go to hell without God if their heart has never been changed. It'll affect your heart. Amen. It'll affect your heart. Do you want your heart affected? I'm not going to go any further. I'm not going to deal with the next point. I'm about done. All right. Might just preach right here for a few weeks. On the effects of faith. Faith in a Savior, Andrew, will affect your heart. Now you may look all around you, son. You may see a mama, a daddy. You may see a brother. You may see a sister over here. You may see a deacon. And you may see their life, because I did when I was your age. And I didn't see anything any different than what I was living in my life, because I didn't have any faith. And what they said they had hadn't changed their life. But you, son, need to understand that faith in Jesus, it'll affect your heart. Now, You may look at Brother Jim and you may say, Brother Jim's living ungodly. Faith, that never affected him. That ain't going to change the story at all. It's going to affect your heart. He's lost if that's the case. Just evaluate it. Just figure it out. He's probably never been saved because faith has affected my heart to believe unto righteousness. It's all about feeling. It's all about feeling. This world's governed about feeling. And I'm going to tell you what, feelings is all in your head or your hormones or whatever it is y'all want to call it. But I'm going to tell you what, salvation is going to affect your heart.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You need to understand that, gentlemen. As a man thinketh, so is he. Oh, no. Because there's things that went through there that I am thankful to God didn't make it to here. I'm glad that what I thought in my mind didn't make it to the soles of these boots. Because I stopped it before it ever got here. I dealt with it before it got there. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What did he say? What did Paul say? Think on these things, pure things, godly things, holy things, all these list of things. Because if you'll think on those things and meditate on godly things, then it will filter down in your heart and make you, amen, what you need to be for the glory of God. Can your heart receive that? Are you listening? It's a very serious matter. It's a very serious matter this morning to make sure that you're in the faith. What does it mean to be in the faith? It means to be in the chair. You in the chair? In the pew? I'm in the chair. Now, I'm around the chair. I'm actually touching the chair. I'm leaning on the chair, but I'm not in the chair. Examine yourself. See if you be in the faith. That's what it says. And the only thing you can examine concerning faith is your heart to figure out whether you're in it or not. Let me ask you some questions, and I'm gonna be finished right here. Has there ever been a time in your life when the Holy Spirit of God brought conviction to your soul about who you were and what you were doing and where you were headed? When God dealt with my heart, He dealt with my heart about several things. He dealt about who I was. I was a sinner. He dealt with me about where I was, what I was doing. I was sinning. And He dealt with me about where I was going, Brother Mark. I was headed to hell. It's that simple. And I said, you know, I stand back. I said, well, my daddy's a deacon. I've been in church all my life. I play the piano, sing the little songs, go about my own business, you know, sing in the choir, whatever the case may be. Are you listening to me now? I could have justified, I've been baptized. I've been baptized a couple of times, I think, if I remember correctly. But what I was a sinner. And the reason why I knew I was a sinner is because of the way I was living. And because of what I wanted. And I knew in my heart and mind, when I pillow my head at night, I really didn't want to step out into eternity and meet God because I knew that I'd face judgment. So has God ever dealt with your heart about your soul? When I say your soul, what I mean by that is your soul involves your entire makeup. Who you are, what you're doing, and where you're headed. And when I come to the conclusion that I was lost and I admitted that to God, and I just simply did this. I just gave my life to God and repented of my sin. I walked out of that. I didn't go to the altar. I walked out of that church building that night. And I walked out of that church building a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that new creation took place when I, in my heart, sitting on that pew, Brother Danny, about where you're at, when I walked out of that pew with a committed heart to serve God and to live for Jesus, because I'd had all I wanted of the world. I walked out that night. I told my wife. I went to my friends that I was living in sin with. I told you this a few weeks ago. I'm going to tell you again. I run to my friends that I was chewing bloodhound, chewing tobacco with, that I was running to the lake with, cutting school with, everything else I'd done, singing country music with, bluegrass music with. I run to them and told them, I said, God's done a work in my heart. I'm going to serve the Lord. God changed my life. Never been the same. Have you ever been under conviction? Have you ever made a choice? Salvation's about a choice. A choice of commitment that changes your life. That happened to me when I got saved. And it's kept me where I'm at, doing what I'm doing for a long time. It ain't been me that's kept me here. Some of you think I'm just so stubborn, I'm going to do it anyway, but I'm not that stubborn. It's kept me where I'm at doing what I'm doing for all these years. Now, where are you at right now? And what are you doing? It's not keeping you too good, is it? I'm kept by the power of God. Has it kept you? That faith you have in Jesus, or in this Savior that you're speaking of, that faith that you say you have, has it kept you? Kept you from sin? Kept you from the world? Kept you out of trouble? Talking about a keeping salvation. The effects of your faith on your heart is a result of saving faith in the person of the Lord Jesus. Have you ever put faith in Christ? Well, I told you the other night, and I'd be unjust and unfair if I didn't, I don't know if I want to say compliment or whatever it is, but I told you that the Democratic Convention had banned God, the word God, from being used in their convention, and they had banned any statements revolving around Jerusalem being the capital of Israel. Well, they overturned that. It'd be interesting for you to see that little clip of how that went about. That's the biggest fake I ever seen in my life. But nevertheless, thank God for a Methodist preacher that stood up and said that his faith was in God, and he made the motion to put it back in there. At least thank God for somebody that was willing, amen, to make that stand. Even though the rest of it was a facade, amen, I'm glad for that at least. But this world has laid Jesus outside of the equation of salvation. And I'm going to tell you what, independent Baptists have laid him aside. But salvation is in the person of Christ. He changes lives. He changed mine. And he can change yours before you leave this building today and give you something worth living for. Has faith ever affected your heart? I'm just wanting you to ask. You look at me now and I'm done. I'm fixing to be done. Has faith in a person ever affected your heart? Now, before you answer that question, understand that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness.